Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Please, by all means, hit us up on the text line. Still come about a half hour from now. Our Wednesday regular, Joey Clark, will be with us. So you want to make sure that you stay tuned for that. Also in the program a little bit later on, we'll hear from my friend Dick Brubaker, former state senator from Montgomery. Something I just saw, and I, you know, take this for what it's worth. This is a Democrat poll. House Majority PAC, the poll conducted by Tolkien Research. Shamari Figures 47, Rhett Marcus 47. This is not going to be easy for Representative Marcus. And, you know, it's probably like one of these situations where, you know, Republicans are not going to be crazy about the possibility of having to spend money in Alabama. But it's looking more and more that way, guys, that, you know, so this is not going to be one of these things that sort of just is a layup for Republicans. And, I mean, it's a big seat. Can't win here. Now, you're going to win some other seats because of redistricting. We can't win this redistricting seat. I mean, maybe it's a double-edged sword in some ways. What it will do, it will say to the courts that you call our district racist, but yet the district voted for Shamari Figures. You were wrong. There's some validation there. Perhaps, but I still think Republicans need to put, you're going to have to put something into this. After this convention wraps up, you got to get Tommy Tuberville in a solid place. You got to look at Madison County. You got to look at some of these races in Jefferson County. I don't think are givens. And the second congressional district. There's work to do here. This isn't one of these election cycles where we can host a few parties, a few fundraisers, treat it as some kind of social gathering. There's real fights here. This isn't 2022. Democrats are raring to go. They're motivated by the redistricting. There's national headwinds. Republicans have an Iran war problem. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, it is a problem. At least the consequences are. And just the overall sort of unpopularity of Donald Trump is always present there. While Donald Trump's very popular, as a very strong base of support, the other side of that is he has a very strong base of opposition that does get motivated to participate in elections. Is there a counterbalance there? Probably favors Trump in a state like Alabama. Second congressional district, Rhett Marcus has got work to do. And, you know, I don't think he was really that great in the first go around on May 19th. I thought he had a good special election. But this isn't... Shamari Figures is a much more formidable opponent than Hampton Harris, than David Matthews. He is selling this to Democrats in Washington, D.C. inside the Beltway as a winnable race. He's very likable. And this district, not precisely how it's constituted now, but pretty close. Guys, don't forget, 20 years ago in 2006, Bobby Bright defeated Jay Love, and that seat was Democrat. Eventually, Martha Roby came in and she won. Or it's 2008, I should say, because Bobby Bright wrote Obama's coattails. But 2010, the Tea Party wave, and it went back to Republicans. But under the right circumstances, based on turnout, and, you know, historically, Wiregrass turnout, while it's a very conservative place, isn't necessarily what it needs to be. So, you know, I don't think that Doug Jones is going to beat Tommy Tuberville. I don't care who texts me and says, well, you're taking it for granted. I'm not there. If I believed that that was the case, I would tell you. I just deep down don't think that's in the cards. But I do think Tommy Tuberville needs to win by at least 15 points. If you want him to accomplish some of the things he's going to, or he is campaigning to accomplish. So there's a lot of different things, a lot of different circumstances in this election cycle that pertain to this state. Let's get some text here. Philip, who cares if she's insane? Get her out of the herd. Why should innocent people sacrifice their safety for the feelings of a crazy person? Well, we have an insanity defense. It is part of our legal system. You could disagree with it, and maybe you could lobby to get that changed. I'm just telling you right now, those are the rules. So you have to care she's insane. If you want her out of the herd, quote unquote, then I think it's up to the prosecutors to execute much better than they had in this case. They are not up to snuff. See here. Skid Row, LSU put the commissioner of the SEC on the witness stand. There's a price to pay for that. How do you think Ole Miss or Tennessee will vote? I mean, do we think it's realistic that Ole Miss or Tennessee, any school in the SEC, is really serious about expelling LSU? There's historic rivalries. We may not like LSU, but do you like having them on the schedule? Would you rather play Tulane every year? Georgia Tech? What do you do? I think it's just the SEC trying to gain leverage in this situation, honestly. Unnamed texter, what should the charge have been in the Lindsay case? Probably manslaughter or something. Is it murder? Yeah. Is it realistic to think that you could get a jury of her peers, Lindsey Clancy's peers in Plymouth, Massachusetts, to get a vote? No. If it were in Alabama, sure. If it were anywhere else, perhaps. But they got to be realistic about it. And if they're going to go for the big bite, then one would have to think that they would. If they're going to go for the big bite there, one would think they'd have to present a better case. That's been the knock from all the legal experts commenting on this case, that the prosecutors weren't really ready for prime time. Fire dog, the Clancy copycats already happening. Corey Walsh, a 40-year-old mother in Frankfort, Illinois, has been charged with first-degree murder after prosecutors claim she followed the Lindsey Clancy trial and killed her 2-year-old son, Barrett, on September 1st. What do you do? I mean, maybe in Illinois, you could get a better standard of justice to be a deterrent. It's a sickening, disturbing mindset. Toothless Bammer, these commissioners need to stop with the student-athlete garbage. QB at LSU is getting paid $8 to $10 million a year and is not going to an 8 o'clock class. Was it the SEC Shorts video where they were making fun of it and they were showing a former NFL player with his agent going around campus And when they showed his class schedule, it was like introduction to colors online, the one class. Mike, Jeff, how hard was it not to laugh at Chairman Wall when he repeated the line, "This is the most important election of our lifetime"? I've heard that my entire life. Both parties have steadily marched our nation off the cliff. Democrats sprint towards it while recent Republicans are just jogging. I mean, when has the Republican Party ever, you say recent, when has it ever been this bulwark against the intrusion of government? I mean, maybe Reagan. And Mike, I know where you're coming from. Populism is not founded or rooted in an ideology. It's what people are thinking and feeling at that moment. It's, and I think it's sort of a play on like the patriotism and the nationalism too. And this longing for what, at least perceptively, was a simpler time when you were able to have a vocation and a career, and you had your house and the white picket fence. And why can't we get back to that? Why are all of these things that we used to do in America going overseas? What about our traditions? Merry Christmas. And, you know, the things we used to kind of take for granted are now taboo, are more extreme. Why are little boys who determined that they feel like a little girl that day able to be little girls? And, you know, and all of this is built up over time, this political correctness thrusted upon the society. And you've heard me talk about it. It's Wall Street just looking to make a buck, going along with what they think is in their best interest. It's pop culture, it's Hollywood, it's music, pop music, it's top 40, whatever. It's Hollywood, TV. It is marketing. Marketing is sort of an extension of the Wall Street. And they're caving to Democrat forces and liberal forces. And it's the people who are in these very key pivotal things in American culture. And it's our political class playing to it. And you have these radical elements that want to change things, and then the knee-jerk reaction is to push in the other direction. The pendulum is just wildly swinging back and forth. And I think the populism that sort of dominates the Republican Party right now is a reaction to this weird push for this utopia that is unobtainable by Democrat and liberals. So is it really the election? Maybe to some degree, and it is important, but how do you get a handle on this situation? Rocking right along here. We'll get to this on the next segment. 251-343-0106. Still got a ton of text to get to here, and I have I filibustered on one of them. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I hope you're old enough to understand, son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery up next, so stay tuned for that. Scroverine, look how much opposition and spin amounted against Pastor John Travis Johnson's banners. They spin his concerns by calling it hysteria, antagonizing threats, and they try to define gender ideology as about boys and blue and girls and pink, knowing it is so much more than that. The problem is the subject repels the easygoing, all-appealing squishes, so they ignore the concerns and buy into the left-wing spin. Listen, I don't know that this is necessarily purely about gender ideology and the definitions we use and where people line up on them. But I do think, Squirrelverine, that a big part of this is to stop the city government's promotion of something that people just across the board reject. It may be a 70-30, even if it's 50-50. Why does the city need to weigh in on it? Why does the city need to promote it? Not telling people that they can't be gay or they can't think that boys should be girls or whatever. The city of Mobile needs to be ambivalent. They need to sit this one out. That needs to be the policy. They don't need to have resources used to promote these things that people object to. And this is what we learned from the Travis Johnson banners, that if so many people object to something that's getting put up with city resources, there's two sides of that coin. And I think that's the bigger point here. He also adds, all those Doug Jones signs in the Fruit Nutland of Fairhope, which appears to be a demographic of 95% white, are basically beacons shouting, never mind what we said, condemning the old white men wanting to uplift the black indigenous people of color. We want the old white man to be our leader, with having been a black Democrat candidate before the primaries who lost. They are simply hypocrites. I don't think it's that simple. I mean, there's a pseudo-intellectualism. Tommy Tuberville's a big dum-dum, and he's a football coach, and smart people back Doug Jones. What was it when Cooper was running for state senate? There were a bunch of those signs. I don't think it's a race thing at all. There may be shades of hypocrisy, but I think it's just a giant, sad virtue signaling exercise. Sorry, neighbors. It's one thing to be like for a candidate and go and vote. It's another thing when you want to take up the banner of that candidate, promote that candidate. What are you actually doing there? Are you trying to show your neighbors, I'm not one of them? That's all I could figure. Because there's no, maybe I'm wrong here, maybe this isn't completely true, but my suspicion is there's no personal connection to Doug Jones. He's not a Fairhope guy. He's not a Spring Hill guy. He's a Mountain Brook guy. You put a sign up in your yard. Do you have that personal connection? Or are you just wanting to say, hey, I'm not one of these guys, knee-jerk reactionary populist right-wingers? And I think there's some of that going on. I heard your opinion on the data center in Calvert. Also heard your connection about restriping the Bayway. I live in Axis and know many people in Calvert. I dare say they don't give a rat's patoot about the striping. This just shows you that the beautiful people have different concerns from those of us who live in this country. As an Auburn alum, as am I would think you'd understand this. What do you want to talk about, Texter? No, we're not going to talk about restriping the Bayway or data centers. Now, I think the data centers, the way they're being co-opted, is it may pertain to one locality, but it's not an overwhelming big populist issue as it's made out to be. If you have a data center come to your backyard, you care. If you're a voter anywhere in this country, chances are you don't care. And that's how this election is swung. Not by this micro issue, but like something that touches everybody. And I think it's the affordability question. So you could take your community, your small community, and base it on that. But that's not the overwhelming sentiment of the entirety of the country or entirety of the state. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Borah Show on FM Talk 106.5.
When I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt.
like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy, getting cards and letters from people I don't even know.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is hit me up on that text line. Dick Brubaker coming up in about an hour from now, so stick around for that. But joining us on the line from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, Joey Clark, our Wednesday regular. Joey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for hopping on. We always appreciate it. You and I are talking offline, but you and I are in this business, and it does feel like candidates are starting to get a little more engaged statewide. The general election ballot, this is typically the days following Labor Day when they start spending more than they're taking in, and whatever the game plan has been in the off season, now it's time to execute.
Yeah, and I think across the board on statewide elections in Alabama, in particular, it starts at the top, and I think Tuberville's got plenty of money, and I don't know if the ads during football season are going to – they'll be effective, but not completely effective. They can't do it on their own. I think he's got to do more events. And then, I know you just mentioned to me, and I agree wholeheartedly, this congressional district too. I'll just say Congressman Shamari Figures is no pushover, folks. Like, there's a reason that guy won that seat in a pretty crowded primary, and I was kind of surprised how he overtook Anthony Daniels so quickly. And so they'll have plenty of money as well. And if you just saw, folks, with recently Montgomery's mayor had Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. And I just have this sense that in this election cycle and going forward with, let's say, Tuberville's governor, that's going to be the move. We're going to see a lot of progressive, say, leading lights come down and use Montgomery and Alabama as a platform.
Yeah, because we're talking about Shamari Figures, and he's very charismatic. He seems reasonable. He's still a Democrat and very liberal, but cosmetically, just it's very reasonable. He seems like he's qualified for the job, but I'm going to tell you where that matters. It matters in the second district, but where it seems to be working for him is inside the DC Beltway. He is able to convince people that this is a winnable race. They're going to work to try to win this race. Rent Marcus, I'm sorry, I think he's a weak candidate. He's weak for a couple of reasons. He's just not great on the stump. But he's also from a rural part of the district where he's not going to have the hometown crowd showing up, in big, big numbers. He's got work to do. I don't know. He's got to break out of this, cycle he's been in since he got in this congressional thing, even when he was running in the first. He's going to have to change it up some. People are not getting excited to wake up on November 3rd to go out and vote for Rhett Marcus. And they're just not. That's a reality. He's got to try to change that. And I don't know he's got it in him, but that would be my advice. And, I just haven't seen any reason to believe that's the direction he's going to go.
Yeah, it does seem like they're going to rely more on direct media buys instead of him getting out and actually hitting a lot of events and getting to know folks personally. I think you need to do both, and you need to do it more than you think, especially in my neck of the woods, Montgomery, and sort of the surrounding River Region area. Not just selfishly, I would love to have him on my show more and more, and I think that would help some, but he more needs to hit up every no little club, Republican club or whatever, too small, and start actually building the buzz. That's sort of the word of mouth that I think will drive people.
Yeah, because, he's got the Chamber of Commerce guys. He's got a lot of the people, especially in the Troy's and the Daleville and Dothan and Enterprise. I don't know that he's got anything beyond that. And, other than, hey, I'm a Republican, vote for the R. But this is an election cycle where there's headwinds for that. That's not going to be as powerful as it is typically in this state. We saw it in the May 19th primary. I think we'll continue to see it. And I think he's a likable guy. he's just not comfortable in his own skin. And that's not good if you're running for high office.
Yeah, and it does seem like, to your point, his team is leaning on the vote for the R thing. And perhaps the plan is, if at the top of the ticket a bunch of money is being spent and the national currents get a little more energized, then we can rely on the R more than we did during the primary season. But I think you're right in terms of the headwinds, that that's not going to cut it. And there's a certain discontent. I mean, just look at the issues around like flock cameras and data centers, where both parties' leadership are on the wrong side of this, and everybody's trying to jump ahead of it. But right now, there's a lot of just dissatisfaction. And the energy that, especially in the fun energy that was around 2024, it's just gone. And you got to think about, too, the big coalition that won 24. A lot of those folks aren't rowing in the same direction anymore, even if they still don't want to be Democrats. So it's I think Alabama, as much as we can, localize some of these races, and that's the main advantage to Shamari Figures, that he does, I think, have local advantage organizing-wise, and then, you, as you said, has the D.C. money. But a part of the problem, as you've talked about, is this Fox Newsification of the Republican voter. And so if the national waters are tepid, it's good luck, even if you're a good local candidate, getting somebody out there.
The other race you mentioned, Tommy Tuberville, Doug Jones, I still think Tuberville's going to win that. There's not a path for Doug Jones. However, if Tommy Tuberville wants to do big things, and he seems to, he's going to have to win by more than 5 points. He can't just squeak it out. But the thing is, like, I think there's stuff in his platform that people would get excited about. I start talking about privatizing the ABC. Start talking about, rooting out the cultural rot in our public institutions. That, yeah, we like KIV fine, but she didn't really carry that ball forward. She's been MIA. You need someone in there that is going to address this head on. Because, I'm telling you, from an 18-19 news perspective, we uncover this stuff all across the board. Why is a third-party news outlet having to be the ones to expose this stuff? Why isn't this being done more in-house than it is? And, start talking about these things that get the Republican Party, the voting bloc excited. Because I think he's got it in his – don't just lean on cutting the grocery tax. Don't just talk about – stopping the caliphate at the Alabama Georgia Welcome Center or whatever. I mean, there's like real long-standing problems in this state. It just takes the right kind of governor who appears to be capable of doing this, talking about it, and it'll drive the left mad. But that's what you want. You want to drive them mad, and you want to get your base backing this phenomenon.
Yeah, and I think they've kept their powder dry. You're starting to see in some of the messaging where Coach is going to double down on the red meat stuff. My question beyond the election, because I think you're right, it's a matter of just how big is the win, and the bigger win, the more the mandate and bully pulpit and actually changing Montgomery. But that's where I'm going. I wonder how much of a populist is Coach Tommy Tuberville? How much is he ready to actually rock Montgomery, or is he more looking to make friends with certain folks in Montgomery? Is he already friends with certain folks in Montgomery to where it's not going to be as big of a shakeup as some people might hope? Now, I'm speculating here, and I'm not trying to throw shade or get people to not be discouraged by any means. But, I got to be honest, and I'm watching this going, well, what exactly are we going to get? Are we going to get this firebrand conservative populace? Or are we going to get Alabama government a little bit better, and instead of KIV, we got Coach Tuberville's name on stuff? And I don't know. I've not seen any sort of proof, because it's so early, which way or the other that's going to go.
I just think there is an appetite here for a change of pace. I get it. Robert Bentley goes down in flames. You're Speaker of the House, your Chief Justice, and your governor are all, leave office in disgrace. Your three top, heads of the legislative, judiciary, and the executive branch. And people just got, can we just calm down? Can we just have something that's not going to show up in our headlines every single day? And KIV was the right person for that. She did she got like her five things she wanted to accomplish. We're past that now. And it's time to have a governor who is more present, more of a force in the political scene than Kay Ivey's been.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that complicated in the sense of the basics of it. Like, just take what the good things that Mississippi and Florida have been doing with younger, I think, more energetic conservative leadership. You take the things that are portable. There's certain things Florida can do in particular that Alabama can't do. But take all that stuff, run with it, and then get ahead of it. Like, actually start the lead in a way that will excite conservatives. Because, you know, I was talking with folks yesterday. You look at the northern part of the state, like Madison County, the Republicans are losing their grip on this. Like, it's the future's coming, folks, and it's coming fast, especially after this cycle. As you head into the 28 and 30, who knows what this state looks like?
This is a good stress test of the Republican infrastructure that's been very successful since 2010. It's only grown over those, you know, 15, 16 years. It's not, the trend is going back in the other direction. What is the Republican Party, and I don't know the answer to this question, but what is the Republican Party doing to answer that? What are they doing? Is it, are we just having fun events with, you know, Tommy Tuberville and Katie Britt, and you know, everybody gets a cocktail and gets to see each other, and then they go in their separate ways. We raise, put a little money in the bank, and we're gonna run some ads later on in the cycle. What is the game plan here? Because there are real deficiencies, and I said, you know, the Rep Marcus race, as you mentioned, Madison County. I think some of the over the Mountain Birmingham suburbs are being threatened here by kind of a blue wave, and I think Tommy Tuberville may win the closest, you know, D versus R election since Bob Riley beat Singleman in the early 2000s.
Yeah, and I think, though, like, I'm hearing both you and I at this moment. I think we're just trying to ring alarm bells. Things could change within 2-3 weeks. You spend a bunch of money, you have some great events, especially in the case of Coach Tuberville, and your poll numbers skyrocket back to where they should be. But the deeper point here, folks, is like that long-term 5-10-year window. What is the identity of the Republican Party? And that's a big question in particular for Coach to answer. But, you know, people within the Republican Party here in Alabama, is the leader of the Republican Party going to be more the Speaker of the House currently? Or is it going to be maybe an incoming lieutenant governor? Is Will Ainsworth completely gone off the scene in the future? I think there are a lot of young, energetic folks that that's the question. How do we identify ourselves as conservatives, and are we willing to actually fight for it, or are we going to just do the same almost small town good boy network that's scaled up into Montgomery government?
Well, I think it's you know, something you brought up. Who's been the sort of the most vocal on, you know, whatever the issue may be? It hasn't been the governor. It has been the lieutenant governor, and it has been the attorney general. Somewhat with some of the legislators and lawmakers, but certainly those two have seized this. There's a vacuum there, and you know, this is what's filling it. The lieutenant governor, who doesn't really have much power in this state, the AG, who lost a statewide election, he finished third in a Republican primary to Jared Hudson and Barry Moore. And I applaud these guys for speaking out on these issues, but they don't carry the same weight as that very top of the food chain with the governor. And these are the things, I think this is part of the problem with what we're seeing right now in Alabama, is all that enthusiasm is waning because you don't have a really strong leader at the top of the Republican Party in Alabama.
Yeah, and I do wonder too how much of this is not fatigue with Trump, the man himself, but just fatigue with the game we've been playing for the last 2 years, but last decade in our politics. And I think that's the root of the exhaustion, along with, you know, the general distrust and the changing technology and all the other currents in our society. But I think people are just kind of tired of the show we've been watching the last 10 years. And, you know, maybe we'll get a shot in the arm, but right now it seems like it's the Democrats with a shot in the arm for sure.
There was an overselling here, I think, of what Trump was going to be able to do. Yeah. And, you know, some of the promises he made, and that's a drag on the entire ticket. Look, No one wanted, well, not everybody. There were some who wanted it, obviously, but way, way, way more than they should. No one wanted this, these Iranian strikes causing gas prices to go up. No, nope. that just wasn't something we would have envisioned in 2024 with a, you know, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump on the stage. That would be, you know, everything they're talking about on that stage and what they're talking about political violence. Remember, Trump had just staved off an assassination attempt. And all of this hyperbole and all the invective, no one was talking about Iran. It right. wasn't on the map. It wasn't on the radar. But yet here we are 2 years later and we're looking at it. And it is the most consequential thing in this election. It may not be that people care about, you know, U.S. foreign policy, but what they do care about is the impact it's having on the economy.
And you look at the coalition beyond the conservative base of 2024, I think the biggest thing that upsets that coalition is the war in Iran. But then you look at Doge. They put Doge on a leash. That was oversold and underdelivered. Things that for like explicit groups, I'm in this camp of like cryptocurrency of Bitcoin, that is stalled out as the big banks continue to hold their ground. You got to say you lose a lot of the culture during the whole debacle rollout of the Epstein thing.
Yeah.
Where and so you look at this and you're like, well, I guess we hope and pray for 2028 if 26 isn't too much of a bloodbath. But we're living in times for better or for worse where it's not just Fox News Republicans. Like what 124 with that energy was a much different coalition. And a lot of their interests have just been kind of at least the air's out of the balloon. Maybe they're not all jumping on the Democrat train by any means, but they're also not excited anymore.
Joe, we got to get out of here. Folks want to find you online. Where can they look?
At the Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube.
Joey Clark, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Is it any wonder? Face of the red girl, Roger, that portal wouldn't take. Have a good time. And then one day a wealthy customer bought the Indian maid. He took her home so far away. Then he cried just south of Nashville and he turned that car around. He said, this is where you get off, boy, cause I'm going back to Alabama. As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, Mister, many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me Mister, Mister. The whole world called me Hank. He said, Ripper, can you make folks cry? Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Dip Brubaker coming up in the next hour, so stick around for that. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, hit us up there. Ultra Runner, John is right about affordable housing. Here's the problem with Republicans. The following quote is either Katie Britt touting her housing bill or Ma'am Downey touting his housing plan. Can you tell me who is talking here? Affordable housing becomes so too out of reach. This is multifaceted. Like, we are going to have to tackle it in many ways. There's no simple solution, but my proposal is a great first step in addressing affordable housing crisis. Yeah, because the fundamental question there is how involved do you want the government? Should the government play a role in housing? I mean, shelter is one of the needs. You have to have shelter. You have to have a place to live. Is it necessarily a home in the suburbs, or is it an apartment? Okay, we can establish that. People need a place to live. What should the government do about it? What are policymakers do? Do they do anything, or do they... Because I think as conservatives, we have to look at it like, what could government do to get out of the way and make it more obtainable? You could cut taxes, but, you know, housing's sort of inelastic in some ways with the demand. I guess population has something to do with that, but everybody needs homes. You know, the left would say, okay, well, you know, since it's a need, it ought to be a right, and then the government needs to ensure that you're able to have a home. What do you do about that? What's the right approach here? How much do you want the government playing a role in the private housing economy? Because when they do, sometimes it doesn't end well. You can look at that 2007 housing crisis and the way it just turned the American economy upside down. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.